your dreams here on the Wednesday edition of the Holy Commute Wiffle Ball Podcast, the morning show Wiffle Ball Podcast for your commute. Holy Commutes is the name, and that's what it implies. So good luck figuring that out. I'm your host, Trent Steffes, here on the Wednesday edition, on the last week of the season here, so getting a little goofy. Austin Steffes, you're also with me. So wow. It's the season finale here, and you and I have kind of been scraping the bottom of the barrel for ideas here. And
as we do every week,
but this month was especially challenging because yes. I've been stretched so thin because of the stupid jerseys and stupid leagues and the other stupid league. And so we started the month off talking about MNWA, mm-hmm. which is our wiffle ball league here in Minnesota, run by myself, Trent Steffes. 10th anniversary season. It's going great. So we did that. And then we talked about HRL.
Another league.
Another league in Minnesota here that started up, had a good opening week. And then the next week we talked about national people that we would want to see play in HRL. So again, kind of Minnesota focused. And to wrap it all up here in Minnesota month, we're going to give you the MNWA Awards. It's the MNWA Awards show for the 2021 season. We finished up our season this past Saturday, and so the awards have been tabulated, and it's time to reveal them here. So we're going to reveal ourselves to you. I hope it's consensual, and if not, too bad. Austin, are you excited for these awards?
I am excited. Trent, I do not know the results of the awards, so
but you did vote.
I did vote because I am a manager. Yes.
Yeah. Every manager votes, and then we have one front office vote because there's an even number of managers.
That's bullshit.
All right. Okay. This is going great. Now, Austin, you took home a few awards last year.
Yeah.
Easy for me to say.
Yeah.
And so, are you expecting to take home a few this year?
It would be okay if I did. You know, I'd be lying if I said it wouldn't be nice.
Yeah.
But.
And you had a pretty good season.
Yeah, probably.
You felt pretty good about it. I thought you had a good season.
Probably one of my better seasons I've had. And
one of the, only things I actually did for MNWA this year was tweet out the league leaders. And you were all over those, so yeah.
I'm more of a focus on getting the cup, though.
Of course. But in the meantime, we have these awards: MVP, Pitcher of the Year, Fielder of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Most Improved Player, Manager of the Year, and then the All-MNWA team. So we are going to start with the individuals, close with the All-MNWA. So let's start with the Manager of the Year. Now, this award was won by myself last year with the Meats. And this year, the award winner is you, Austin Steffes of the Elites. So congrats on that, Manager of the Year. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Trent. It was a good season for the Elites, and it's nice getting the Manager of the Year award. I think I've won it before. I think I won it a few years ago, maybe some few years ago in the past.
Yeah, you did in 2019.
Yeah.
So it is your second time winning.
Nice.
And it's the third year in a row that one of us has won it. So the fix is in.
The fix is in. The fixer.
And it's working well.
It is working well. Well over time.
It's working well over time. I agree.
Working well. Have Evan on your team. That's a good way to.
Well, I was thinking about that too today, but there was also six other games in which you needed to win. So
true.
It's not just hey, start Evan, because he didn't.
True.
He didn't start 10 games. So congratulations on that. Now let's move on to the Most Improved Player. This award was established in 2015. And you won this yourself again in 2019, the year you took home a ton of awards.
Right.
So you won that in 2019. Kevin Knutson is famous for winning this twice. And last year, the winner was Sam Plohas of the Meats. And this year, the Most Improved Player, Most Improved from his season in 2019, Eric Gunderson, a.k.a. Thunderson from the Bobcats.
Nice.
Austin, you got to see it firsthand how good Thunderson was this year, how clutch he was on the plate, on the mound.
Yeah. He's everything you'd want. He was top five, I think, maybe definitely for ERA, I think average maybe. Definitely one of the more well-rounded players. Bobcats wouldn't get a lot more wins without him, you know, if they didn't have him. And, you know, he's a big factor. He's a big clutch player, and he had that... he broke up Evan's perfect game and had that home run to walk us off. So, you know, he's got the win against... you know, he's a great player.
Pretty great player. I agree. So, yeah, you brought it up. He was at the top in both pages of the league leaders. He had a 382 average at the plate. He was one of three pitchers to have a sub-1 ERA to qualify. There was a few that had other ones, but to qualify with a .75, and he had over 20 strikeouts. So, yeah, he had a very good year.
Yeah.
Both. And it's not that he had a bad year in 2019. It's just that he was... So
greatly.
Yeah. It's just that he wasn't one of the best players in the league then, and he is now when the league is basically at its height for great players. So it definitely speaks to him. So congrats to Eric for that. I hope he'll appreciate that. Okay.
He better. Vote for him.
On to Rookie of the Year. Rookie of the Year has always been an interesting award year to year for the MNWA because some years we have a ton of rookies. Some years we have one rookie who wins it by default. And so it's always... And then there's some years where one of the best players in the country, someone who is on the drop 100, like Luke Thompson in 2019, wins Rookie of the Year. So... It all depends on the year, but this year was one of the years where we had a very good mix. We had a mix of guys that were from HRL playing for the first time in MNWA, and we had a good mix of guys who it was their first time playing wiffle ball ever. And so as a commissioner, I really like to see that because you don't want to just take all these guys over from HRL as transplants. You know, you want to grow the league, not... just take in HRL, you know, guys looking to do stuff. And so I like to see all those rookies. And so I was really glad to see it. Up for the award from the Knights was Wade Webjem Cooper. From the Elites, Austin Hovis. From the Bobcats, Tyler Rasmussen and Tresden Harris. And from the Condors, the rookie franchise had a slew of rookies. Zach Face Green, Tavon Sarabor, Marty Leis, and Will Beach. Last year, the winner was an HRL guy. It was Torpedo and from the Knights. And this year, it's another HRL guy. It's Zach Face Green from the Condors. So, Austin, this rookie franchise took a chance, and Face ended up on this team, and he had a heck of a year.
Well, yeah, he did have a heck of a year, Trent. He, I think he ended up with about 39 strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
You know... Definitely a pitching force, and, you know, definitely shown, like, how much improvement he's made season to season, you know, fast pitch-wise. And it's just, it's good to see, and, you know, he, you know, I think will ease more into the plate, you know, hitting at the plate, and we'll get even better, and it's just...
I think so, too, and I don't know, I guess maybe I'm not the best person to judge it, because... I was thinking about it. The Face plays for the Rubber Ducks in the HRL, and that's a team I personally haven't faced all that much. I think I have maybe face like 3 or 4 times in my life, and so maybe I never just really got to see him. But he seems like a totally different player in MNWA. Now you can speak to this too, but he was downright dominant in some games. There was a game where every single out was a strikeout. Now there were some walk issues with him. But still, you know, he was dominant against some really good hitting teams.
Mm-hmm.
And at the plate, again, he was the anchor on both sides of the plate for his team. And so that was just kind of a role he's never had to fill before. And one, I think he did very good. I honestly think he's probably going to be at NWLA tournament this year for one team or the other. And I think he's got a pretty bright future in the MNWA ahead of him.
I think he does, too.
Yeah.
I think he had a really good rookie season. I think he's, you know, I think he's motivated, and he'll have a good second season.
Yeah, I'm excited to see. Plus, he might end up being one of the kind of free agency things to look at, because I think he might be testing the free agency waters. Now, I don't want to break any news here, but just myself speculating, and I'm always thinking about this kind of stuff when I'm at work, but he might be one of the interesting storylines going into this offseason. So, yeah, congrats to Zach Green. Now let's go to one of the main three for the performance. The Fielder of the Year. Last year, Evan Sibbett of the Elites, your teammate, won this. And the 2 years before that, we had Ben Kapsner. And so this award has been dominated by a handful of guys the last few years. early on, there was a different award winner every single, or there was a different winner every year. So Evan Sibbett was the fielder last year. Austin, what can you say about the fielding this year, considering the whole season was done inside on turf?
It's definitely, you know, an adjustment for a lot of guys. You know, not a lot of people had maybe played on Bliffle ball on turf before. Just getting used to that extra bounciness or quickness is definitely a change. And, you know, it was with the big bats too, you know, guys are zipping it. So it's fielding is tough this season.
Yeah, and I think there was a few times, because I got to watch a lot of wiffle ball this season, and I was impressed a lot with how smooth fielding was.
Yeah,
there was good fielding. Like, just fielding the grounders and getting it to, I mean, I don't know, maybe to people who are good, it might not seem like such a novel concept, but to see that go on, you know, and then go out to HRL where there's, like, chunks of concrete in the fucking field.
Yeah.
it's nice to see, and so it was really smooth. Plus, right, there were some really great plays.
Yeah.
And, everybody thought one play was going to make the fielder of the year. Unfortunately, Tavon Sarabor, with the Condor catch, did not win Fielder of the Year. Fielder of the Year for the third time in 4 years, Ben Kapsner.
Oh, man.
From the Buxtons. Awesome. Yeah. What can you say about Cappy and his fielding?
Yeah, he's a great fielder. He's very consistent, and, you know, he's always going all out in fielding, and
yep,
he's always doing well.
Yep, he's the number one effort guy, and that leads to good fielding because he cares about, you know, fielding well,
mm-hmm.
and so he just wants to go out, make the well play, and make the field well. So, yeah, this should just be the Ben Kapsner Well Award because it is just dominated by him. Again, his third time in 4 seasons. Cappy is, however, moving. And so he's headed out west to Arizona. And so, you know, he says he's going to play in MNWA next year, come back for some weekends. And so we might see his time go down for the first time since he started being a full-time player. And so I think it was cool that in what turned out to maybe be his last full season, he was able to get, you know, an award because he does put so much effort out there. And not like we're handing him a bone, but just the fact that, like, it gets recognized by everybody, at least, is pretty cool. So congrats to Ben there for Fielder of the Year.
Congrats, man.
Yeah. And now let's talk about the MVP and the Pitcher of the Year. Let's do it both. So, Austin, you were the MVP in 2019, again, your big year.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2020, you were the Pitcher of the Year. So you are a recent winner of both of these. Last year, the MVP was Sam Plojas.
Mm-hmm.
So, big awards, the biggest two, Pitcher of the Year, MVP, probably the biggest in every single league. And this year, it was won by the same player, Evan Sibbett from the Elites.
Yes.
Yeah. It comes to a surprise to nobody. Even if you just tune into this podcast, I think we've talked about Evan Sibbett maybe every single week.
Oh, probably.
And that's because he's just been so dominant. And so when we think about wiffle ball, he's at the forefront of our minds. You know, saw him out in MAW this past weekend at the opening day tournament. And so he's making moves out there. And meanwhile, he's winning MVP and Pitcher of the Year here in Minnesota. And so he wins the MVP and Pitcher of the Year in the same year. And the last person to do that was Devin Nelson in 2016.
Wow.
And it's only been done twice. Two other times, both by Zach Busman,
yeah. Okay.
And so it really speaks to how dominant of a player one can be when they win MVP and Pitcher of the Year in this league,
yeah.
Because they're both so prestigious. And so when we're thinking of most dominant players in league history, we're going to think, you know, Matt Newell, Busman, Nelson, probably Sibbett.
Yeah.
Because I think that this season is kind of going to be a precursor to his MNWA career, not the peak. And yeah. So,
and, you know, as long as you know, the Elites keep going, and as long as Evan's still just in the league, you know, he's going to keep dominating. You know, he loves to perform and loves to, like, use it as, like, you know, good, you know, just, like, not practice, but just, like, getting better. So I just seen his, like, development as, you know, as soon as he came into the league and just seeing the impact he's made. I think you and I had talked earlier, like, maybe last year, and we were talking about like the top 10, like all MNWA, like all time list. And I think we talked about like Evan maybe not being on it.
Mm-hmm.
But then, and now after the season, it's like just cementing himself, you know, as like that's one of the better seasons. And when you have people who have only a handful of people who have won MVP and pitcher of the year in the league, to have someone, you know, do it back to back and not, you know, like, and then not being Ellison or Bussman, like that's pretty big. So and doing it in the year with all this talent and having like three ERAs under, you know, under one, and just having all this, you know, hitting talent, it's just, it's incredible to see. And he had an amazing season, and
yeah,
to see it play out like that, it's really nice. And Evan's a great player.
Yeah, he it was apparent from spring training that the league was in trouble.
Yeah.
He was just, you know, streets ahead of everybody at spring training and then at opening day. And then, you know, he had two perfect game bids in his first two starts. He got the perfect game in his fourth start, and his third start was against the Topes, who are one of the better, who are probably the best offense in the league,
mm-hmm.
save the Elites. And so he had a really impressive stretch of games. I think it's going to be really fun to see him play this Saturday, because he's going to be at the height of his, you know, competitiveness, because this is a final tournament. You know, this is for the title.
Yeah, he's going to be looking to bring it, and, you know, we're looking.
He wants redemption from last year.
Yeah, we want to get that cup back. You know, the last 3 years we've been in the final game, and I know the last two out of three we've taken it, but, you know, we kind of got that saltiness in the mouth of, you know, not having to win it last year and just wanting to get it back. I think it's good motivation. The awards are nice, but like I said, the cup's really what we're focusing on this year.
Yeah, please stop shitting on what we're doing.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, the awards are important.
Yeah, they're
as long
they're
as fun. You're listening to this, the awards are important.
Yeah.
I don't care what he says.
Yeah.
Let's just quick touch on Evan's stats, because if you follow MNWA on Twitter, you saw him on the forefront. He's in the leader page of the leader header of every single category of our league leader graphics, and so you saw a lot of Evan Sibbett this year. He finished with a 0.24 ERA in four starts, and that's only allowing one run all year, and that was on a walk-off home run to Eric Gunderson. He had 37 strikeouts. He won the batting title with .533.
Incredible.
Another really elite thing, but
he had like seven homers too.
Seven homers. Jeez. And interesting fact about the batting title, Evan Sibbett hit .533. Sam Plohas, .529. 0.005 away from repeating as batting champion, because he had a .500 last year. So back-to-back 500s for Sam. So congrats to Sam on that.
Yeah, and it, you know, as much as, you know, as good as Sam is, you know, like Evan, you know, is like overshadows it obviously, but Sam had an amazing season too. Just,
right.
You know, every time I looked over, I felt like I saw him just crushing the ball.
Right. And we can get into that, because now it's time to talk about the All MNWA.
Oh.
So this is, we give a list, and the managers rank their top 10 players in the league 1 to 10. The top spot gets 10 points in descending order. Those points are assigned and totaled up, and then it's sorted out, and then we present them in no particular order as the All-MNWA teams. A couple years ago, we added the second All-MNWA team to recognize more guys, and because of the expansion this year, we added one spot to each team. So in the past, there were four-person teams as All-MNWA teams, but this year they are 2 5-person teams. So let's start with the second team All-MNWA. And the first person we'll talk about is John Cronin. This is John's third All-MNWA team, and I believe it's his third in a row.
Mm-hmm.
One of your teammates.
Amazing.
As much as we've talked about Evan, and you had an amazing season, which we'll get on to, John also had a great season.
Yeah.
He was in those top lines for each of the categories, you know. John
to me is Mr. Consistent. Like,
yep.
Ever since, I think he, you know, he got us that title in 18, you know, where he like single-handedly like ran through the tournament pitching. Like, you know, John's just been the guy. Like, I think I started a week pitching that I like didn't feel good, and then John came in and just shut him down. You know,
yep.
No practice. Like, he just, that's just what he does, and he was consistent at the plate,
he's
dropping bombs, and he's he's a really good player, and you know, he's ready to go for the tournament too. It's
right.
Good to see.
Yeah, John is someone that you feel very lucky to have as apparently your number three pitcher.
Yeah.
So yeah. So John, third one there. And then in this all MNWA team, we only have one other person to win the award once, and that's Luke Mippify Thompson, who was on the team in 2019. This was his first full season, and I think he did pretty well. You know, he was on my team, the Isotopes, got him signed there, the old roommate. He's playing with his Fridley Factor teammates, and he's, you know, again, just Mippy Shocker is in a great lineup. Like, how does that always happen?
Yeah.
Is Luke actually good?
Or does he just get piggybacked?
Maybe that's what this is. Maybe this is actually the Mippy 5 exposure podcast. Is he actually good, or just his teammates good? Or is his manager good?
That's very true.
No, Mippy is just one guy. He could be goofing around and still be the most dominant player on the field. He can hit anybody. He's got power. He's got speed. He's got contact. He's a five-tool player. And he's handsome as hell, and so he's a six-tool, and that's something you don't always get.
He is a six-tool player.
And he has a lot of stuffed animals, so seven-tool player. You don't find that a lot. Mippy 5 is that. So we have now three other guys on this team. It's their first time in the All-MNWA. The first one we'll talk about is Wade Webgem Cooper of the Knights. I think that I really wish Wade could have made it out more, because I think he was at about half the games. And I actually think he was at like a little over half the games, but I wish we could see him in a full season, because I don't think he ever really got to get himself into a groove hitting-wise, but pitching-wise,
he was there.
Like, nobody was touching him.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that was the thing is, you know, just had that like lack of hitting, but I think more, you know, a few more weeks or just maybe like mid-season, like HRO, you know, like he would have been
right.
Like, you know, 300, 400, you know. And did he have a sub-2 ERA? Like, he had a good year pitching. Like,
he did.
We faced him, you know, he's a really dominant pitcher, and he, you know, he's got the stuff, and it's just...
Yep, he's a strike thrower, but he's very elusive. It's something you don't see a lot of, and it's why he's dominant in HRL. So, his first year in MNWA, and he gets a spot on the All-MNWA team, so congrats to Wade on that. Next, we'll talk about the Rookie of the Year, Zach Face Green. I think very deservedly gets a spot here because of how he was the team MVP for the Condors.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not going to throw more strikeouts than Evan Sibbett and get left off this list. Like, that's not going to happen. And so, again, capping off a very strong season, a very strong first season for Face.
Yeah, and I think he, like I said, he's going to have a good sophomore season. And it was just good to see him, like, take that, like, you know, number one spot for the Condors and kind of just, like you said, be that team MVP.
Yep. All right, last one for the second team All-MNWA is Casey Stash Urbach. Again, and he's also from the Isotopes. It's so frustrating that Casey's not in the top five, but the top five is just so strong. You can understand why, but I just, like, Casey was underestimated, and it was underreported going into the season how good he was. You know, he was the final tournament MVP last year. Like,
yeah,
he put the Buxtons on their back and won him a title.
He was the main reason, like hitting-wise and, you know, a great pitcher.
He got them,
like,
through the early stages of that tournament.
They got to, you know, that game, like,
exactly.
The final game. So it's like,
and
you
that's
know, Casey's
why
a great player.
And I think he just did the same exact thing. You know, he wasn't over dominant as a pitcher, but he got the job done. He certainly didn't get shelled like some people. And at the plate, he's just an absolute role player. Like, if things are getting a little lopsided and you need someone to maybe not run out of grounders so hard, Casey's your guy. If it's the bottom of the last inning and you need to score because you need to win this game to get the points, Casey's absolutely your guy. I could make the case that he's probably the MVP of the Topes, and we have an amazing team, top to bottom. Like, there's still another player on the Topes to be named here, and Casey's just that good. You know, I said he's one of the top three players in the state. He said he thought that was ridiculous. I'm not so sure.
I agree. I think he's an amazing player, and he's a great fielder too. He's everywhere. He's an amazing player.
All right, so let's get to it. The top five here for the All-MNWA team. the top five ranked players of this season according to the managers. And again, in no particular order, we are going to start with you, Austin. Congrats. First team All-MNWA again. Every time you've made it, you've been first team. No second teams for you. This is your third time again, third straight year. We talked about it earlier. You had an amazing season. You were consistent. There was always a drop off in the batting averages when I was doing these stats. And you were always in that first group, like, of hitting, of OPS, of slugging. Like, it's Plo, Gunderson, Sibbett, Austin. Those are, like, the top four hitters in the league, basically, mm-hmm. in every category. On the mound, you had a tough time backing up the pitcher of the year performance that you had last year, but you still had an unbelievable amount of strikeouts. And I think that, you know, the walking thing is just something that's going to absolutely go away because you're only 20. You're not even – you turn 21 next week, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And so you've continued – like, these last few seasons aren't a fluke. And I know that's something you were worried about going in, but for you to win Pitcher of the Year last year, to struggle as a pitcher this year and hit as well as you did – is impressive.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to say congrats on that. Brother to brother.
Thank you.
Teammate to teammate. I think you did a great... And I'm really glad you're on the first team.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
So congrats.
Yeah. It was a good season.
Yeah. Let's just move on and talk about Sam Plojas.
Yeah.
Second straight year for the former MVP on the Topes. You said it earlier. Whenever you looked over, he was crushing. Was there any doubt as to whether Sam was going to back up his MVP season?
Never a doubt. I think in my head, I think going into the season, I thought he would probably...
regress?
Not regress. He would probably be MVP again.
Repeat.
Yeah, sorry. I thought he would repeat MVP mm-hmm. and maybe do a little bit better, maybe even improve a little bit pitching-wise. But I don't know if, like, from what I saw pitching, or, like, I guess I didn't see his stats too much, but it just didn't seem like he had it all there pitching. And then
Sam had an interesting year pitching. It's just last year we relied on him, and then he threw really fast, and so we're like, oh, damn, this is awesome. But it took a toll on his arm, and so this year he took a step back because he could, and it was probably the smarter decision.
Yeah, and I'm glad he did that.
And he's going to be available in the final tournament.
Because
he did throw a 42 game this year, and he pitched pretty well.
Yeah, and that wasn't me, like, ragging on him.
Oh, no.
Like,
I think no. He's a great pitcher. He did have a worse year pitching.
Yeah, and it's just, I think, though, it's, like, to improve hitting, like, and improve your average. That's just insane. Yeah,
he improved averages. He's improved home run.
Better hitters in, you know, the league that we've had. And
he was the MVP last year. You could call him the final tournament MVP last year as well because he didn't show up to the final tournament, and I think the tournament's a lot different if Plojas plays for the meets last year. And so it's just he is a game-changing player, and it's fun to see. We didn't even bring it up. He was the West Region Player of the Year for the National Wiffle Awards.
That's true.
He had an amazing season, and he got better hitting.
Yeah.
I just think that I want to get Sam out there on the national level because his hitting is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait to be able to see it. He's a natural hitter.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the most natural wiffle ball hitters I've ever seen. Okay. So congrats to Sam, second straight for him. Now let's talk about another noob. We'll talk about the guy who hit the home run off of Evan. Obviously, Eric Gunderson, the most improved player from this year on the Bobcats. His season was way more than that, but that kind of catapulted him in, right?
Yeah. There was a big moment, and, you know, that was a big win for them. And that was, you know, those big moments are, you know, as long as you back them up or, you know, keep it going, like, those moments are going to be remembered.
And I brought it up when we were talking about you, but he was one of those top-tier hitters all season, and he was absolutely consistently great on the mound, too. And so Eric, absolutely, he had a play for MVP in a regular season, you know, without Evan. And so I think that, you know, Eric coming in, joining the Bobcats, a team he's not familiar with, and ending up on the first team All-MNWA is really cool.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he could do that. And I'm glad to have him in this league.
Yeah, he's a great player.
Yep. And so, two more spots here. We'll go with the Grizzled Vet, and that's Matt Newell. Out of all of these award winners, this is his sixth All-MNWA team since the inception of the award. He's only missed the team once, and that was in the very first year, and that was the year before he started getting really good. And so Matt Newell has been, you know, probably the most consistently good player in league history. We're talking about the Mount Rushmore of MNWA players. He's definitely on there, I think. I think that we're probably, I don't know, but he's just, at this point, he's one of the best pitchers in league history, if not the.
Yeah.
And so, and he just continues to evolve, and as the league grows, so does his pitching skill.
Yeah.
Somehow, and he had an amazing year in HRL last season, and he had an even better year in MNWA so far.
Yeah, and I think kind of like if I can make the comparison, that's kind of like how Sam got kind of overshadowed by Evan. I think Newell kind of got overshadowed by Evan in another sense too, because you know Newell
had a sub one. He had a .5 ERA.
He had a perfect game as well. Like you
he
know
did.
Evan had one, Newell had one the same night.
Yep.
You know.
You're very right in that he was overshadowed by Evan. You're totally right.
Evan, you know, and that's just in the sense of, you know, just saying of how good of a season Evan had. But, you know, taking nothing away, like, Newell had just another pitcher of the year caliber season, you know? Like,
right.
I'd won it last year, and this year he came back and put up even better numbers. You know, it's just...
Yeah.
He, like you said, one of the most consistent players in the league. And I don't think that will change for any reason, you know? Unless, like... rules get changed or anything else, like I don't know. Newell's really adaptive, and like he's a good player, and he's not just gonna stop being bad pitching. He's been doing it for so long, and like you said, six first teams, it's all deserving.
All right, so the second team all Emmett, before we obviously the last player is Evan Sibbett, but before we get into it, the second team is Casey Urbach, Luke Mippy Five Thompson, John Cronin, Zach Green, and Wade Webb, Jem Cooper. And so far, the All-MNWA team for the first team, Austin Steffes, Matt Newell, Sam Plohaz, Eric Gunderson, and, of course, the MVP, the Pitcher of the Year, the GOAT, Evan Sibbett.
Yes.
No more needs to be said.
No.
Because we've said it all.
Yeah.
The very deserving number one spot, you know, captain of the All-MNWA team. So congrats to Evan. Capping off a very, very, taking home a lot of hardware tonight or this morning. So once again, the manager of the year, Austin Steffes, most improved player, Eric Gunderson from the Bobcats, rookie of the year, Zach Green from the Condors, fielder of the year, Ben Kapsner from the Buxtons, and the pitcher of the year and the MVP, Evan Sibbett from the Elites. The MNWA final tournament is this Saturday, May 1st. You can follow it on Facebook Live. We are going to be live streaming every game. Hopefully going to be live tweeting all of those games as well. So stay tuned for that. There should be some great games. There always are great games at the final tournament. It's one of the most competitive tournaments around. And it's our league title tournament. So Austin, any last words?
Nothing. Thank you for another, thank you for another great month, Trent.
Yeah, you too. You're wrapping up a season.
Yeah, I'm excited for the final tournament on Saturday. Very excited for it. Looking to get revenge for the cup, and just excited to see everyone out there too.
Alrighty.
Should be fun.
All right, and that's going to wrap up a season. Carl Coffey's got you tomorrow. This has been Holy Commutes. You can follow us on Twitter at Holy Commutes. That's Holy with an E. And we will see ya.
She tried to hide it by the faded denim clothes she wore, but I knew she'd never been inside a bar before. And I felt like a peasant who just had met a queen, and she knew I saw right through her tight-fitting jeans. Ask her, what's a woman like you doing here? I see you're used to champagne, but I'll buy you a beer. She said, you've got me figured out, but I'm not what I seem. And for a dance, I'll tell you about these tight-fitting jeans. She said, I married money, I'm used to wearing pearls, but I've always dreamed of being just a good old boy's girl. So tonight I left those crystal candle lights to live a dream. And partner, There's a tiger in these tight-fitting jeans. We danced every dance, and Lord, the beer that we went through. I'm satisfied I did my best to make her dream come true. As she played out her fantasy before my eyes, it seemed a cowgirl came alive inside those tight-fitting jeans. In my mind, she's still a lady, that's all I'm gonna say. I knew that I'd been broken by the time we parted ways. And I know I held more woman than most eyes have ever seen. That night I knew a lady wearing tight-fitting jeans. Well, now she's back in her world, and I'm still stuck in mine. But I know she'll always remember the time. A cowboy once had a millionaire's dream. And Lord, I love that lady wearing tight-fitting jeans.